You're tuned to Focus on Campus, a weekly show which highlights faculty, staff, and students here at the University of Texas at El Paso. Good morning. I'm Louis Sines, your host for Focus on Campus, and joining us today, it's become a holiday tradition. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, and that means John White is here and to tell us all about what to do with Christmas plants, living Christmas trees, all that stuff. And first of all, John, I'd like to say thank you for joining us, and I'm glad you're doing better after your surgery.
Well, thank you, Louis.
And on this day that we're taping, it's a cool day, and so are we, because people, when they see the change in the weather, sometimes they either panic or they say it's time to do this, time to do that. So tell us a little bit about some of the things that perhaps they need to watch out for. Last night, I think, was a low of 33. But is there something that they need to start doing to taking care of their plants in and out?
Yeah, and again, you know, we're talking about primarily plants that have more frost sensitivity, and not all plants are like that. So there's a lot of plants that are very hardy here in El Paso and don't need any protection. So, you know, again, you don't want to get too overly excited. You know, the weather people kind of get really excited because it gives them something to talk about. But, you know, if you do have some tender plants or some plants that are in bloom right now and you want to make sure that they are blooming for the next, you know, a few days, because we are going to warm back up, and you know, it's supposed to be a very mild winter from all long-term forecasts and not much moisture. So having a little cold and a little moisture actually is probably good for the area. Helps to acclimate our plants.
One of the things that I've seen because of, you know, the it seems like, you know, the holidays just kind of snuck up on us, but I've seen different posts on social media about people wondering about traveling and taking Christmas cactus. Can they take those somewhere else, and will they survive, and how do they take care of them, etc.?
Usually if you're going east of here, there's no problems. But if you're going west of here, like going to California, Arizona used to stop you, and they don't anymore. But California a lot of times will stop you, especially if the plants are in the pot, you know, in soil, they will stop you and sometimes will confiscate your plant. You know, you might want to think twice about doing that, maybe mail order and have it sent to somebody rather than trying to bring it there. But going east, there's no problems going east with it. But Christmas cactus, you know, if you ship it, you want to make sure that the shipper doesn't leave it in a truck overnight in some cold climate, you know, and it freezes. So carrying it yourself, you have that added protection of transporting it yourself, and you know how it's being taken care of. But sometimes when they're shipped, they can be subject to either drying from not being watered or cold damage.
And John, why is it that you know, people might say, well, you know, I wasn't aware that you couldn't take them, you know, across certain state lines?
Well, California, of course, is the number one agricultural producing state in the United States, and so it has a large, you know, vegetable fruit production industry, but they also have a large ornamental industry, and so to protect that industry, they don't want any hitchhiking insects to come in and might cause a problem with their industry. So they are very picky about what plants they allow in there, and anything commercially coming in there would be inspected by California agricultural inspectors, and you know, they would make the decision as to whether that load can come into the state or not. But plants and sometimes citrus, you know, you're carrying some oranges or some lemons or something with you and you're bringing it in with your avocados, a lot of times they will confiscate those at the border. So a lot of times it's easier to confiscate that than it is to cancel a whole load. So they're not going to spend a lot of time checking a few citrus. They'll just confiscate them. So it's best not to bring those, you know, with you if you're going into California.
And if you go to a nursery and you want to purchase a Christmas cactus for someone, what is it that people need to look for as far as make sure that it's a healthy plant?
Well, you want to look for good dark green color on it. You want to make sure it doesn't have any black markings, you know, coming up from the soil level up into the plant, because it might be a sign of a rot or a, you know, fungal pathogen that may be starting to rot the root area and stuff out. And you want to make sure the plant hasn't been sitting in a saucer full of water. So, you know, you kind of want to look to see that it is allowed to drain either out through the bottom of the bench that it's on or allowed to drain on out. But it shouldn't be sitting in a saucer. And when you bring it home and start to water it and take care of it, the same thing. You do not want to put it in a saucer because it'll catch the drain water, but then the plant sucks the drain water back up into the plant. So the pot actually should be elevated above the saucer to catch the water, allow it to drain. You're leaching salts out of the soil mix, you know, maybe some fertilizers, insecticides, you know, you never know what's in the soil mixes. So all that gets leached out. But if your plant's sitting in the water, then it sucks the moisture back up plus the salts, and then your soil gets saltier and it stays too wet and it'll rot the roots out on the plant. So you want to keep them out of damp soil conditions. So you want to make sure your pot drains well and drains into a saucer or somewhere where, you know, it's allowed to let the water flow out.
And is it okay to place it anywhere in the house, or does it have to be near a window?
It likes to be in fairly bright light. So it doesn't necessarily have to be direct light, but it has to be a bright light. And so in a house, you know, we have fluorescent lights. You know, like here in the studio, we have fluorescent lights. We can read what we write and things like that. But that's not actually bright enough for a houseplant. It needs to be much brighter, or the plant needs to be almost right up against the light to get the right amount of light on it. So a lot of times we can see in lower light areas, but the plants actually need a brighter light. So they do need to be somewhere close to a window, and either a curtain shear in front of it kind of helps to break the direct sunlight, but it'll get some. But you also want to be careful that you don't get, you know, if it's a super cold day and you get the plant up against the window, it can actually get some cold damage on the leaves if the leaves are touching the window pane.
The things that we see popping up usually after Thanksgiving as well is poinsettias. And if you go to some of these club warehouses here in town, you see some very big poinsettias. And, you know, people tend to sometimes think, the bigger the better. And so they'll get as many as they want. Or that they're also different colors. And if you're getting a poinsettia, what do you need to watch out for?
Well, the poinsettias you want to watch, I guess the big thing is a root rot, and that's usually from overwatering, so you want to be careful how they've been cared for. If you're buying them in a big wholesale club or, you know, a big display of them, you want to make sure that all those plants did get watered adequately, because sometimes you'll pull one out and your plant will have a little bit more of a droopy look to it, so you probably want to avoid those because they may either be a little bit on the dry side because they weren't watered well, or maybe they got overwatered and the root system's getting ready to collapse on them. So you want to pick a plant that has nice turgid leaves that stand out, you know, nice and stiff, has good dark green color to the foliage on it, and then the bloom, so to speak, which is actually just colored bracts. It's not the little yellow and red thing is actually the flower. So the colorful thing is actually a modified leaf called a bract. And, you know, depending on the color that you're buying, whether it's pink, white, you know, red, you know, you want to make sure that the color is pretty even there and those bracts are standing out pretty nicely. And if you have a lot of flowers on it, you know, that's a sign that it's fresh. You know, if the flowers are beginning to fall off, then it's gone a little bit past prime. And so that plant has lost its blooms, and, you know, it'll still hold its bracts. And the nice thing about some of the new varieties, they are, bred to hold their bracts for much longer periods of time. It used to be in the old days that a poinsettia would, you know, come out with its colorful bracts, and it'll be good for, you know, a week, 10 days, maybe 2 weeks at the most, and then it's gone and you threw it away. And now the poinsettias keep going pretty much throughout the holiday season, as long as they're given adequate, you know, light and aren't subject to drafty areas where they get a blast of cold air or a blast of hot air.
So what about Christmas trees, living, or if they get one from some of these parking lots. I don't know what they put on that pavement, but all of a sudden they just bloom with Christmas trees.
Right. I haven't noticed as many lots so far this year as maybe years past, and I think some of the cut Christmas trees are maybe losing a little bit of their popularity. People are either going to artificial trees or they're going to a living Christmas tree. And the cut Christmas trees, if you do purchase one, you want to, kind of test the leaves, the needles on it to make sure that they are on tight and they don't pull off real easy. Might be a sign that the tree's been cut for a while. If they're coming from Oregon and stuff, a lot of times they're cut, a month, 6 weeks prior to the time you see them in the lot. So they've been cut, they're on a truck, they've been making their way here. Sometimes they've been sprayed with a green dye and gives them the green color. So a lot of times when you look at the tree closely and look at the bark, a lot of times you'll see where the bark's kind of got a green coloring on it, and it's a sign that it's been sprayed with a material, to give it color, but also maybe to help retain moisture in the tree. And so you kind of want to, think a couple times about it. Once you bring it into the house and it's under warmer temperatures, then the plant starts to desiccate and dry quicker. And so it doesn't last as long. So if you try and keep it in the house for 2 or 3 weeks, at the end of that time, it's probably going to be starting to shed needles and things like that. So if you buy a cut one, you want to make sure you put a fresh cut on the base of it. So before you bring it in the house, you want to recut it at the bottom and make a fresh cut on it, because that'll help the pores to suck up some of the water that you keep in the pan. And so you want to make sure the tree does not go without water. But you don't want if the tree's no longer picking up water, you don't want the water to stagnate there. So the water does need to be poured off and fresh water put in.
If you get a living Christmas tree, how soon do you need to get it out of the house and plant it?
Living Christmas trees also are subject to the warm temperatures inside the house during Christmas with, people and the heaters running and everything. So those trees will think that they've come into spring. And so they will start sometimes to actually to break bud, and you'll get some, growth showing up on some of the tips and stuff. So you don't like that to happen, because when the tree goes back outside, it's subject to cold weather again. So probably about, 10 days, 2 weeks would be probably the most, I would say, for a living tree. And, you can either purchase them just before Christmas, bring them into the house, use them as your Christmas tree, holiday tree. And then, some people like to keep them past New Year's. And other people, start to move them out after Christmas. So either way, but if you're going to come back out and they've been in the house for 2 or 3 weeks, then you kind of need to harden them off. So put them out a little bit, not out in full exposure, but up against the house, but outside, let them start getting subject to cold again, and let them kind of acclimate to it before you go directly out. But then they can be planted, if you want to use them in the yard as a landscape tree or remembrance of that this year for some reason, you can go ahead and plant them out in the yard.
Well, John, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us here today. We've been visiting with John White. John is he's a curator at the Chihuahua Desert Gardens across the street here at the Centennial Museum, giving us a few tips about poinsettias, Christmas cactus, and also Christmas trees and living Christmas trees. And don't know yet if we're going to be able to get you back before the end of the holidays, talk a little bit about choosing pecans and nuts and all that stuff. But
I'm sure you can find me.
All right.
All right.
John, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Folks on Campus is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Lauren Terrazas. Our producer is Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Louis Sines.